Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Odd 7 Podcast Network. Listen different.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Simpin' After Dark. It's been a long, lonely 2 weeks without you guys, without me being able to come on here and vent and talk shit about all the crazy shit on the internet. If this is your first time listening, Simpin' After Dark is a podcast where I, Ashley Mendoza, I pick a song, I get into the lyrics, and then I talk about whatever's been popping on the internet, and then I use the lyrics to kind of open up conversations about relationships and love and heartbreak, all that. Happy Valentine's Day or post-Valentine's Day, yeah. I guess.
Yeah, Wednesday. Valentine's Day.
Oh, yeah, that's April, by the way. I have a guest today.
They know who I am.
Welcome back. If you are new here, April is my sister. She's been on here like a bajillion times.
Yes, get with it.
Yes, so welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having
me. Excited to have you. We have a lot of stuff to talk about today. I listened to a podcast episode. The podcast is called Armchair Expert. I found out about it on TikTok, actually, because there's a movie coming out. It's an Anna Kendrick movie called Alice, Darling. It's kind of about an abusive relationship. It looks like a thriller. I haven't seen it, so don't worry, no spoilers. But I was like, this is kind of perfect to talk about for the episode, the movie. And then I seen a clip posted and somebody was talking about that podcast episode. So I've listened to it twice already just because it's really good and so that it's fresh in my mind.
Listen to it twice.
It's so good. Like, there's so many good points.
It's really good. I haven't listened to a podcast other than ours in our network, of course.
Shout out Wild 7.
But yeah, I haven't listened to a podcast episode or a podcast in general that was that good and that, like, not only educational, but, like, you know, easy to relate to, great host.
Yeah, he's a really good host.
Dax and Monica, yeah, really great hosts. And Anna Kendrick is just underrated as hell. She's so smart.
She's very talented. She was a really good guest, I guess, for the episode. She was so vulnerable and just
she's so open, but she just really knows how to communicate her feelings. And I love that.
I know. I'm like, are like all actors like that? Just like really good with their words? Or is that just, she's just really smart and like.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Some could be. But yeah, she's very, very smart. And yeah, I loved hearing all her points on just everything about her relationship and everything else. But yeah, we'll get into it.
Yeah. So there's actually even like articles about it if anybody wants like a rundown on the episode. But I'm pretty much going to like talk about everything. You don't even need to go listen to the episode. Like, I'm going to fucking talk about like every single point.
Yeah.
I took notes because I was like, damn, they're spitting.
I mean,
Dax Shepard, it's like Kristen Bell's husband. If you don't know anybody, if you don't know who he is, I don't even know what movies he's in or anything.
He's in a lot of stuff that I just forget.
Yeah, he's like a really recognizable face and actor and name.
God.
Don't know what he's in, but apparently he's been in AA for a long time, Alcoholics Anonymous.
Right.
So apparently through that, I didn't really know much about it, but he's very open about his journey with all that. So he talks about how that program has really helped him to learn to apologize. Obviously, you do like the whole 12-step thing. We have to apologize to people. And also just to recognize your feelings and how to handle everything and process everything in a healthy way, especially when you're like an addict because your brain just works so differently that you like have to get a handle on your brain and everything that it's going through.
Yeah.
So he had a lot of good things to say.
Yeah. He mentioned an episode or something. It was like seventh day. Do you know what he's talking about?
I don't. I know they both brought it up. She asked them about seventh something.
Yeah,
I didn't know if that was like part of the program.
Seventh day or something like that.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know if you knew anything about it. But no. It was like kind of mysterious. He's like, oh, I don't really talk about it. This and that. But
yeah, I was like,
Yeah.
I'm sure. Curious. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. But anyway, so we'll be talking a lot about that. And then it also kind of really ties into the song I want to talk about today, which is Kali Uchi's I Wish You Roses. I think it's the first single for her album that's dropping next month. Yes. So excited for it.
I went to her Spotify. It's the only song on that album. So.
Oh, really?
Yes. Yeah.
So there's she's dropping two albums this year, an English one and a Spanish one. So the English one looks like it's coming first. Yes. Really excited for it, even though I really fuck with her Spanish stuff.
We love a bilingual queen.
Yes, she's so amazing. I think she's Colombian, right? I don't know.
I think so.
Yeah, so that song, obviously it's called I Wish You Roses. It's about like letting go of a relationship with grace and just like wishing them well, you know, and she uses like a metaphor of like a rose for a bunch of stuff when we get into the lyrics. We'll kind of talk about that. But the reason I was saying it kind of correlates is because Anna Kendrick, obviously she talks about her toxic relationship and it's really crazy. Like, I can't wait to get into it. Like, y'all, you need to hear this shit. It's nuts. But she talks about how at the end of it, she just wished him well and just wanted healing for him and all these things. And she's just an overall very gracious, understanding person. Like, I was like, wow.
Yeah. Who, Anna Kendrick?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I know.
So the song's like perfect for her.
So patient, so giving, and just
so fucking understanding.
Understanding.
I would say too understanding, but you know,
compassionate.
To each their own. I didn't know you could be too understanding, but I don't know. We'll talk about it.
Yeah, we will.
But also really quick, I just wanted to talk about you. Season 4 is here now.
Oh, I was like, me?
Not you.
Me? What about
you? Like, wait, you didn't tell me anything about this. You. I love it. Penn Badgley.
It's back, baby.
Yes. Yeah. I'm going to watch it probably soon, tonight or something. Well, for me, it is February 10th. By the time this drops, maybe everybody will have binged it by then. So maybe I'll talk about it soon. But I just saw something today. I don't know if you saw about how the next season there's not going to be any sex scenes because Penn Badgley like requested he didn't want any. And apparently it's because like out of respect for his marriage, like he's not really comfortable.
Oh, really?
Doing it. Yeah. So a lot of people like were giving him backlash and stuff.
Holy shit. Honestly, I don't remember the sex scenes that much.
There's a picture that was kind of going around. I wonder if I could find it on Twitter where it's like a BTS shot of a sex scene where it's the girl, I forgot her name.
I forget.
Yeah, I forgot her name too. But she's like sitting on top of him. And like, it just looks so awkward. Like, I'll show you. It's like the cameras and just the way everybody's rigged up. And it just like looks so uncomfortable. I can't imagine being married and have to do that.
Could never.
I think I've even talked about it. Or maybe I talked about it on the Amigas podcast, which, by the way, is that dropping?
Yes, I have so many editing.
Projects
so
on
much
the back burner
to do. It's been a busy month.
So. Yeah, so I think I talked about it maybe on there where like I have like my on-screen fiance and like we didn't even have to do nothing. Like it was just a photo shoot where we like hold hands and pretend we're like fiance. Yeah. And even that, I was like, oh my god, this is so like awkward. First of all, awkward. Yeah. Second of all, like being in a relationship, it's like. Yeah. Weird, even though it's like not and it was nothing, but I can't imagine having to do like a full-on sex scene.
Yeah, it is
like
that. But you also had another scene like with him. It was like post sex or whatever.
Oh yeah.
And his girlfriend was there.
Oh, she was in the room and I was like, funny. Why? I mean, I guess if you guys are cool with it, she understands.
Yeah, I mean, that's part of the actor's life. But
yeah, that's what everybody was saying. Like, well, his wife should have known that she's marrying an actor.
Yeah.
But it's like, how do you guys know it's a wife that asked him to stop? It's like, women always just get blamed.
Yeah.
Maybe he just really didn't feel comfortable doing it. Like, we're always just assuming.
Yeah, yeah. Out of respect. He said out of respect for his wife.
So. Yeah, and he's just genuinely uncomfortable.
Yeah, I mean, I can't imagine even like holding someone's hand that's not my, you know, husband or boyfriend or partner or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Doing a full-on sex scene, that's like a whole other thing. I mean, Unless you sign up for porn, or am I allowed to say that word?
Yes.
Corn.
You say corn. This isn't fucking TikTok. But I freaking it's going hate on TikTok, that shit. Right? Yeah, I would just like do a little bleep. I guess you could say corn.
That's what I mean.
Less work for me.
Whoops. Yeah, it's not like you're doing corn, but you know, I don't know. There's like a thin line between being an actor who's doing a sex scene and then doing, you know, like straight up corn.
It's a very thin line with some of these scenes.
Yeah, because it's all about the human experience being an actor. It's about being someone that you're not. It's about being with other people that you're not normally with. It's like the whole human experience. So
yeah,
it must be an interesting lifestyle.
Definitely I mean, I can't
say I could never, but I don't know.
I could say it. I could never.
I work with a lot of actors and like, I don't know. So on the director side of things, it's kind of a similar thing.
Like, imagine you're the director or producer of You, and then Pim Badgley's like, no more sex scenes. Like, how would you feel?
Yeah. Oh, God. I always sympathize with the actor. Like, I feel very protective of talent and actors because you have such a close relationship with them as a director and as a producer. I just always want to make sure they're taken care of and comfortable because I don't think that you need to have, like, a sex scene to make something great. Like, I think that with a lot of most shows and most series don't necessarily need a sex scene or nudity to make it great. Like when you mentioned this whole sex thing, I was like in my head thinking, trying to remember like a scene from You where there's like this really memorable sex scene. And yeah. I'm sure there are a lot of great scenes and whatnot.
It just like never really drives the plot.
It's not memorable enough to be like, oh shit, like I'm bummed.
Yeah.
It's the same thing with like Euphoria. Like if they were like, oh, no more like, you know, titty scenes, I'd be like, all right, that's fine. Like
we'll be fine.
We'll be no more, you know, junk. That's fine. That's totally so fine. It's for me, it's all about the story and I don't know.
Yeah, I feel like there's like two camps of people, like people that could do without it. And then the other freaking horny ass people that are like more sex scenes. Yeah. There was literally a tweet going around on Twitter where it was like, what is the point of sex scenes? Like, can we just like insinuate it and then get back to the plot? Please.
People have gotten better at that.
But then other people were like, no, I love sex scenes, blah, blah, blah.
I think they make me so uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times you're also watching, you know, these scenes with like either family or partners. And so if you're watching with your partner and it's like, that's awkward.
Right. Like with your boyfriend, it's like a girl's whole titties out doing like some shit. And I'm just like looking at him like,
yeah,
the fuck are you looking at?
I mean, that's why they invent corn, right? Like,
yeah,
I don't know. It's, yeah. For me, it's all about the story and you can apply it. You can have like interesting visuals and, you know, new ways to kind of show that they're doing it, but without actually showing all of the nudity. I don't know.
Yeah. It's definitely weird.
But good for him.
I doubt anyone will even notice. Yeah, like, right? Like, set your boundaries, boy.
Yeah.
Do your thing. We support you.
Yeah, I mean, well, kissing scenes are definitely needed, I think. But, yeah, when you're, like, naked in the same room with somebody, that can get awkward. And
the kissing thing reminds me of, I don't know if you saw or heard of that movie, You People.
Right, yeah.
Like, Jonah Hill and, like, Lauren London. I saw it just because I was, like, one day. I think I was doing my nails or something. And it wasn't the best movie, whatever. It's like a chill background movie. It was honestly whatever, kind of forgettable.
It's been done before, but yeah.
Yeah, but a lot of people's complaint was that like Jonah Hill and Lauren London didn't have any chemistry. And there's like no kissing scenes in it. There's zero. There's like one scene at the end where they get married and it's like, you know, you may now kiss the bride type thing. And supposedly it's like CGI.
What?
Apparently like if you pause it and like look.
They didn't actually kiss?
No, I seen a clip of, I think, the Joe Budden podcast where he was talking about, he had somebody on that was in the movie, this other comedian, like, tall, skinny white guy that's in the movie. And he's like, yeah, when we were shooting that scene, they were like, all right, and cut, like, when they were still, like, 2 inches away from each other's face.
Yeah.
And then I was like, what? That's weird. Maybe they're going to, like, cut away in the movie. We'll see. And then he watched it, and, like, you could see it, like, kind of morph all weird.
What?
Like, what is the point of that?
That is so weird.
Yeah.
See, that's what I'm saying. You need kissing scenes.
Yeah.
Because that drives the plot.
Especially because people really can tell. They're like, there's no, it felt like they were just besties the whole time.
That is so weird to me. You have to have like the chemistry readings. Like you cast people together in the same movie based on how well, you know, their chemistry is and stuff like that. So that's really bizarre.
The fuck?
And especially because it's a story about a couple. And who are, I mean, I'm assuming, I don't know too much about it, but like they're overcoming, you know, adversity or like, you know, problems with their parents and all that stuff, social dilemmas, whatever. And then they, assuming they end up together.
Yeah.
And get married. So a kiss would be like such a simple way to put your...
A little peck. Dude, they can do like a little peck.
That is so weird. That's like almost like very fascist.
Fascist, I'm dead.
It's like, well, Cinema Paradiso, one of my favorite movies ever, you know. It's like, you know, at the very end, well, throughout the movie, there's like these scenes in a movie theater because this is, takes place like, you know, like years in the past where you couldn't show kisses on screen. And so the film editors, which used to have to, and the projectionists, they'd have to cut the actual film reel and they would take out the kissing scenes and they'd splice them together. And then they would show those versions in theaters.
Oh.
So sometimes, you know, they would kiss, but then like if they distributed them in like that country or whatever, in most countries, they couldn't show that. And so the beautiful scene at the end that you've probably seen is the guy, the main character, he's watching.
Just unlocked a memory.
A freaking compilation of all these kisses spliced together. Oh, and it's like,
I remember now. I just got the chills.
Like, moment in movie history I've ever seen.
Choked
and I
up.
Freaking love it.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think kissing Listener, is necessary, you know, yes. for movies. And
if you haven't watched Cinema Paradiso, 10 out of 10 recommend. Beautiful movie.
Yeah, I'll make you cry.
Yes.
I'll make you cry.
I forgot about that. Yeah. I'm like...
I know. It gets me every time with the music and everything.
Oh, I could just picture it. That's beautiful.
Yeah, so that's very fucking weird to me.
Yeah, it's weird. And some people were assuming it was like, oh, out of respect for Nipsey Hussle. Like, that was like 3 years ago,
but,
I believe.
Like, why are you going to, like, no offense to this actress, but like, why are you going to be in a film being someone's wife or girlfriend?
Yeah.
You know,
like a love interest.
You could have given that role to someone else and made the movie better.
Yeah, that's what a lot of people were saying. And at the same time, like, I don't know. That just doesn't make sense to me. It's a huge assumption, but I kind of hate seeing shit like that. And I've kind of seen it a lot where people are like, oh, damn, like Lauren London's a real one. She hasn't dated anyone since Nipsey Hussle.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
So they just want her to be so, like, single?
Forever.
Forever, and that makes her, like... You know,
yeah, like I can't imagine the day that Vanessa Bryant
she's gonna get so much shit.
Yeah, I feel so bad for women. Like, these men pedestalize these women kind of like the freaking like Holy Mother of Christ or something.
Yeah,
where it's like they're a martyr in a way. I don't even fucking know if that's the right word. Where like they lose their man that's like this highly revered idol for men or just for the world in general. And
they remain a virgin almost.
Yes, they want. That's what they want. It's very weird.
Yeah.
Like, y'all better not freak out. It
doesn't surprise me.
At all, but it's just
I mean, who knows what her reasoning was, but yeah, that's just, you can feel that. Like, even, like, it's kind of like when I'm watching a movie and I see somebody holding a coffee mug and there's no liquid in the mug, I feel that. Like, I don't know if you notice it, but, like, next time you watch these things, there's something to it, you know?
Yeah, it's in the movement.
You can only fake so much. But I've heard production designers talk about this, like when they dress like, you know, tents in a circus and you can't see inside the tent, a lot of times they'll still add stuff inside the tent So you feel it when you're watching it.
Oh, that's so interesting.
Yeah. Like, so, you know, it's not always about what you see. It's a lot of the things that were in that moment that are coming through in the film that are just kind of there, and they're so subtle, but like, I don't know.
Yeah.
You're taking away a lot of the magic, you know? So it's fucking weird.
Very interesting.
I gotta watch it. That's interesting.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know about watching it. It's not the best.
Well, I want to see that scene though.
Yeah. It's just the end. I'm sure if you Google it, there's like clips everywhere, all over.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Wait,
that's so weird.
All right. So what else did I want to talk about? Kali Uchi's album that's coming out is called Red Moon and Venus. So love that. March 3rd.
Love that. That's and such a cool name.
Red I know. I love Venus. It. And then like all the like photo.
Yeah.
Cover art.
It's very nice.
For it so far. Yeah, it's very night shady. Shout very out. Night shade.
Yeah, very astrological and witchy and yeah.
So beautiful. She always has like the best visuals.
Or she's Scorpio.
I don't know.
Kali Uchi's? Yeah. I feel like we've looked this up.
I feel like she would be.
I feel like
a Libra just because.
She looks like she would be. Yeah, let me look it up.
Libras are all beautiful, ruled by Venus, the planet yeah. of beauty and love.
Oh, no. She's a Cancer.
Oh, Cancer. Yeah. Okay. Shout out the Cancers. Oh, you're also crazy. Beautiful.
Okay, moon sign in Libra.
Oh, there it is.
Okay, that makes sense. Her moon sign's in Libra. Fucking knew it. Okay, that makes sense. Okay,
red moon in Venus. Yes. I can't wait to hear more of it and see all the features and the list of songs. Can't wait.
Yeah.
Let's listen to a clip of the song before we do anything else. Love her voice so much. I had to get that little clip of her at the end.
Yes. Beautiful. I love
Sing
her.
To me, Kelly. I love it. So I just, yeah, so it's called I Wish You Roses, and the whole roses metaphor, I feel like it's just a tale as old as time.
Yeah.
Literally Beauty and the Beast.
The rose, yeah.
But it never gets love, old. Yeah. It's just, I feel like cavemen were probably doing it if there was roses back then.
Yeah, they are overrated in a way, but like, a beautiful flower, and they symbolize like someone's love.
Yeah, especially know? Just like the way it can like wither away. Like there's so many things, like thorns. Like,
yeah, right.
So many things. Like how can he not use it? Mm-hmm. So it's a good like lead single for the album.
That.
So it's pretty much song. Just her. Yes, it's so good. She's just mourning, or not even mourning. I think she's very much over it and just wishing him well. There's a line I really like. Yeah, so it's the chorus. She says, I wish you roses while you can still smell them. So kind of, you know, just letting whoever know, like, enjoy your life. Enjoy this peace you have right now while you can.
Yeah.
Because, and then the next line, with pretty flowers can come the bee sting. It's like, because your karma's fucking coming for you. Enjoy the roses while you still can.
Right. I was going to say, she's not that nice.
Yeah. But it's also it's like this a little idea. Petty. Yeah, yeah. It's like the idea of just like kind of when you tell someone like have the day you deserve.
Right. It can be nice. You're not
really saying anything right. wrong. Yeah. But they're going to have the day that they deserve.
True.
And then that's up to them to reflect what that means.
Yeah.
Like, what do I deserve? Am I an asshole? Do I deserve some bad karma?
Exactly. And
that's what you're going to get.
Yeah. It's like, enjoy it. Because, yeah, your karma is coming.
Yeah. It's coming like fast. When it's people get out of a relationship and then the one who cheated gets in a new one.
Yeah.
It's like,
enjoy that. And, dude, every single time people that get into relationships with a cheater, they end up getting severely heartbroken or cheated on.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate. But, yeah, I believe in karma so hard.
Yeah, and, like, that actually reminds me, there's a clip, I was going to make a TikTok about it, somebody, like, tagged me in it, and they're like, thoughts? I don't know if you've seen it, it was about another podcast, and they had this girl on, I think she was, like, in the corn industry, possibly, she just had the industry, but she's talking about, like, oh, like, I've slept with so many good, really good men that were, like, married, and had children and they took care of their wives and kids. Like they were really good, good men. And it just like made me like not trust men now, basically. But that also gives me like, it's the same sentiment as I've seen on Stripper Talk, where they talk about bachelor parties that come in and how they're all cheaters and how they like kind of have lost faith in men. And I literally saw another TikTok of a stripper talking about pros and cons of being a stripper.
Yeah.
One of the cons was that she's lost faith in men. Right. I've seen that over and over. And like at first it's like, damn, like that sucks, you know? But at the same time, you need to remember they have a very limited perspective of the type of men that they are seeing.
Well, for sure. Exactly. I was going to say, like, not all men go to the strip club or, you know, cheat on their partners. But
yeah,
I can understand if that's like your everyday kind of, you know.
Yeah, that's all they see. Then, of course, they're going to be jaded.
Exactly.
But it's like, are they really good men if they're cheating? No, they weren't good men to begin with.
Yeah.
But that is kind of the ultimate price that they pay doing that, even though it's just a job. So like no shame to like sex workers at all, strippers or whatever you do. That's kind of the ultimate price that you pay doing that, is that you become super jaded and can never trust men, because the type of men you see all the time, that becomes like your like whole world of men, even though it's a very limited type of man, like a very specific type of man.
Yeah.
Which is why it's always a red flag to deal with the guy that hits strip clubs, I think. Like, if you're going to get married and you're talking bachelor and bachelorette party, and they're like...
I know, we talk about this all the time. Like,
no. If they fight tooth and nail to do that, that's a red flag.
I know.
I would call off the whole fucking wedding.
In our Bad Bunny episode, I said it then, and I'm going to say it now. We need new traditions.
Yes.
New wedding traditions, like
the bachelorette... Not toxic ones.
The bachelorette or the bachelor experience of going to a strip club is so dated. It's so 90s. It's like you wouldn't put that in a 2023 film, because that shit's been done too many times and it's old.
It's boring. It's so dead.
You know, let's think of new cool ways to do this. Let's elevate ourselves.
Like traditions is just a weird thing to think of. A lot of them. Yeah. I've seen like that. I don't know if it's like a meme or like a screenshot of something where they were like, traditions are basically peer pressure from dead people. Because like, why the fuck are we still participating in some of these trash ass traditions?
Exactly.
Just because. And it's just kind of like setting up the wedding to kind of be like weird vibes, because you're both like, what did you do?
God,
I don't care how much trust you have in the world, like it's just so fucking weird.
Yeah,
if you hit the strip club, you're shady.
fuck that.
Wish you roses while you can still smell them.
That line could also be interpreted like different ways. Like when I first heard it, I thought maybe like while he's still alive, like, is she being that nice? Yeah. Is she being that sweet and forgiving and whatnot? Like,
yeah,
she's just saying like, life is too short. Enjoy it while you can.
I think it might be a double entendre.
Maybe.
Because I know, I think I sent you a TikTok of like Kali Uchi, like with the lyrics for that. And I think maybe it was like explaining like what the song was about, and it was about just like letting go with grace.
I haven't seen it.
So it seems like that's kind of what it's about.
Yeah, because if you're truly letting go with grace and you've truly been in a stage or a state where you're like truly forgiving the other person and you actually wish them well, which is so like unheard of, and you know, there's only so many people that have done that, or you know, at least from my perspective, but
that's... It's rough.
Very like wholesome and just an elevated point of view, because I feel like I can get there, but like, I don't know.
But that also reminds me of, there's like one point in that podcast, Armchair Expert, where they're talking about kind of that whole idea of rising above the natural human condition. She was talking about another guy, Pete Holmes, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Where she was like listening to a podcast that he was on, or something, if he was on his, or
I think he has a podcast.
Okay. And he was talking about like some retreat he went on, like a spiritual thing. Mm-hmm. And he was talking about how ultimately you just need to give yourself space to feel these ugly feelings and then like move past it. And at first she was kind of like, huh? Like I thought like spirituality was like rising above these things. But it's such like a misinterpretation, Because even in like real spiritual people, like kind of what I've talked about before, these fake positive spiritual ass wannabe hoes, that's gender neutral as well. Trying to be like positive vibes only. Like,
yeah, yeah.
No, real spirituality is about being in touch with the ugliness of yourself.
Yeah.
And giving yourself space to go through it and then moving like past it when you're right. ready. And not shaming yourself or judging yourself yeah. for feeling those things. That's like the ultimate like pinnacle of spirituality, I think, is like not judging yourself. Because I think all we do is judge ourselves
yeah.
all day and feel shame for yeah. everything that we do.
I know. Anna Kendrick talked a lot about that in the podcast.
Shame.
Like, oh, yeah, it's the worst emotion.
It is. It really is. That We're was like a big thing in yeah. the podcast. It's kind of what kept her in an abusive relationship for a long time was shame.
Well, especially like, and I truly relate to her saying, you know, she's a feminist, this and that. And like, as a feminist, and, you know, you're stuck in this like abusive, toxic relationship. And, you know, maybe you've been like talking about how much of a feminist you are, or like, you know, maybe you've talked, you know, publicly about your opinions on men or relationships, and just like your viewpoints are very strong. But then you somehow find yourself in this strange situation because we're human. And
because it could happen to anyone.
It can happen to anybody. Exactly.
And that's then, what she's
and now
about.
She's just like, well, I can't tell anybody about this because, you know, I would be such a hypocrite.
And, yeah,
you know.
Yeah, she mentions how when FK Twigs had first spoke out about her shit with Shia LaBeouf, how FK Twigs was like, "Yeah, you just realize it can happen to anybody. You could be like the strongest like woman,
yes,
like, blah blah blah, and then
yes.
you end up in that situation."
And it's so fucked up because like I know every woman can relate to this too. You sometimes like you hear these stories and you're like, "I'm on their side," but secretly you judge them too. Like I'm gonna be straight up, like. I in my head, I'm like, well, why can't you just leave them? Or like, oh, that would never happen to me. But like, I love that Anna Kendrick was like so open about her feelings.
Yeah.
And how she truly felt. And because, yeah, she just explained everything so well.
Yeah, I think it's and just from like, the outside, it's so easy to be like, well, why don't you leave?
Yeah, yeah.
And like, that's why it's so dangerous to say like, couldn't be me.
For sure. Well, never say never, right?
Like, yeah.
No, it's
life like, will humble you so fucking fast.
Exactly.
If you say that.
Yeah. And we're just like, we're way more nuanced and yeah. you know, shit's not black and white. So,
yeah. So let me give like a breakdown on that movie, Alice Darling, and kind of Anna Kendrick's relationship before anything.
Yeah.
So I saw the trailer. Like I said, haven't seen the movie. So no spoilers. This is based on the trailer only, which is a really good trailer. I think I showed it to you, right? Or no. Did you watch it?
No, I barely had time to.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I'll explain it to you now. It's really good. So it starts with like her meeting up with her two friends, like at a little coffee shop or something. And they're like, oh, like we're going to go away this weekend or next weekend, whatever. For like a little girls mini trip, blah, blah, blah. Like just us, like you're going to come, right? And she's just like, yeah, of course I'll be there.
Yeah.
And then you kind of see her in the next scene, just kind of like, by herself, talking to herself, like outside like a store or something. Okay. And she's like, yeah, it just came up. Yeah, just repeating that. And I'm like, what the fuck? And then she like, you see her walking with her boyfriend next, kind of telling him like, oh, hey, by the way, remember that work trip I told you about? Turns out they are going to need me after all, blah, blah, blah. He's like, oh, really? Like, that's crazy. She's like, yeah, like it just came up. And then you realize she was fucking rehearsing. To tell this to her boyfriend.
But she's also lying, right?
She's lying, yeah. Which goes back to the whole thing where it's like you blame yourself and you feel ashamed because right. you're like, we'll get into that more also.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
I normally find bras to be so uncomfortable and constricting, but Skims has changed that. You know I love Skims underwear, so I finally tried their bras, and Skims has delivered again. Skims bras are worth the hype for the amazing shape and support they give, but what I wasn't expecting was how comfortable they are too. I've tried so many bras in the past, and the main issue that I have is that they weren't supportive enough, to the point where they felt slouchy. I love my Skims wireless form bra because it's so comfortable and supportive. The older I get, the more I care about actually being comfortable in what I wear every day. And with my wireless form bra, I no longer have to sacrifice my comfort for the support I need. Shop Skims bras at skims.com, now available in 62 sizes, 30A to 46H. Plus, get free shipping on all orders over $75. If you haven't yet, be sure to let them know we sent you. After you place your order, select podcast in the survey and select our show in the drop-down menu that follows.
But so then she ends up going on the trip with her girls, and then you see her kind of talking to him and like her kind of still lying. But then at the same time, it's like, why does she feel like she has to lie? You know, like Obviously she's lying for a reason, probably.
Yeah. But she's terrified, obviously.
Yeah. So her friends are just trying to question her because she's like just trying to freak out and be like, what the hell? Like, just act like nervous and weird.
Yeah.
So her friends are like, what's going on? Blah, blah, blah. And she's like, I lied to him. Like, I feel horrible. She says, he wouldn't love me if he knew how bad I am. So it's just her really blaming herself. But then the next scene you see the boyfriend, or she's like, I'm leaving. But then the next scene he like pulls up and the other two girls are like, what the, like, I didn't know you were coming.
At the event?
At their like cabin that they were at for the little girls trip.
Shit.
They're like, what the heck?
How did he find them?
She probably told him, or I don't know. I think.
You probably tracked her.
No, I think she mentions that he went through her emails.
Oh, God.
Yeah. So then he's there, and then the girls are uncomfortable, and then it just, like, looks like, it just becomes, like, a thriller. Like, it looks super, like, a thriller, because it's basically a horror movie. Like, if you're living that.
Well, she talked about it. She said it's a drama, but it's very much, like, a horror.
It feels like a horror, and because. Yeah, like you have compassion and you just imagine like how fucking scary.
You're like living with a monster.
Yeah. It's terrifying. And what I love about it is that, and they even talk about it, is that it doesn't really, I don't think, show any physical abuse or anything. But like watching it, you still understand that she's in an abusive relationship without anything physical having to happen.
You have movies like Enough with J-Lo and everything.
Yeah. Oh my God. I just watched that. I freaking love that movie though.
It's good. Yeah. But it's so, you like, you know. In the previous years, you have films that are about physical abuse.
I think it's like the most like extreme case.
Yeah, but
more extreme case, which really it does happen,
of course.
Yeah,
but you don't have a lot of films or like, you know, anything in like the public or pop culture about like emotional kind of like the secret kind of abuse.
Yeah,
that happens that like from the outsider might seem like, oh well, he's such a nice guy, or like,
yeah,
oh, does he beat you? You
like
know,
the covert like, narcissist abuse.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. It's like, which I feel like I talked about something recently about how we have like so many ideas that are like the Hollywoodification of like sex trafficking, you know, we have Taken.
Yeah.
And then we like dismiss what actual sex trafficking is. And the same thing with abuse, like, because we only see one type of abuse in the media. So then like when we hear somebody come out and talk about their experience, and even Anna Kendrick talked about on the podcast, she's like, I like feel like there's going to be people that are going to be like, what is she talking about? Like, you're lying. Yeah. Like, either not believe her or just feel like she's exaggerating, basically.
Right.
And it's because we don't really have a lot of ideas or, like, experiences or situations that we see of what it can look like. It doesn't have to be physical all the time.
Yeah.
So that's a really cool thing. I want to watch the movie. I haven't really seen any marketing for it too much, actually.
No,
I think
really.
Only TikTok. And I looked up movie times and there was, like, one.
Yeah, well, especially, like, in our area. But
yeah, so.
Yeah. Gotta watch it. No, I love that she, and so she gravitated to the script, right? Because she related to it.
She said a lot of the, like, crew also.
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
Most of them had been in abusive relationships.
It's sad.
That's fucked up.
Yeah, right?
That's crazy.
I mean, shit, I've been in something like that. Like, it reminds me, I've talked about it before. But
yeah.
I can relate. It's terrifying. Like, someone just shows up. And you're like, how the fuck did they find me? I didn't tell them I was here. Like, that in itself is like a little horror movie in itself.
Yeah. You know? And then it's like, do you feel guilty for not telling them that you're there?
Yeah.
Because you're like, well, I probably should have told them I was here.
Yes. But like, from that perspective, you need that separation, because if you're hanging out with, and like in this movie, it seems like it was just her and the girls. But like, in my horror story, you know, like, I had like that similar story where I was with coworkers and I went out with, like, you know, guys and girls, and we're just like going out for drinks and stuff. It was like just a bunch of coworkers, and then my ex-boyfriend shows up just like out of nowhere. I did tell him where I was, but it was just there was no invite, you know. Mm-hmm. It was like, hey, I'm grabbing a drink with my coworkers after work, and that's totally a normal thing that people do. But he just showed up, and like, it was just the scariest thing, because like, people that I was like facing this way, like, and the other, you know, someone else was facing towards me, and then they randomly like look behind me and they're like, oh my god, your boyfriend's here, like, turn around, you know. It's like, dun, 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 you know, it's like scary music playing in the background. Like, you just slowly,
I remember
turn
hearing this story and just like getting chills, especially when, like, you guys mentioned like his demeanor.
And then he's just like standing there with a huge smile, like, hi, hey, probably, you know. It's like, oh god,
like all calm, like everything is cool.
And then so the saddest part is like, from the outside, everyone's like, oh, he's such a nice guy, like everyone's pushing you to be with him, and like, he's great, like, oh my god, like, don't break up with him, like, he's the best.
My god.
Like, you guys have no clue how this person is behind closed doors. And like,
yeah,
so that's like, yeah, like the kind of almost like invisible man behavior, where it's just like,
ew, yeah, oof. It's so just like controlling,
yeah,
like without having to be controlling. It's like they use gaslighting, and manipulation to make you feel like you're making these decisions, but really it's them.
Yeah.
Like, planting little seeds in your brain of like how shit is going to go down. If not, it's not going to be cool.
Yeah.
Because you know how I get when I'm angry.
God.
Yeah, I feel so bad. So Anna Kendrick, she was in a relationship for like 7 years, I believe she said, with this guy.
Yeah.
She's like 37. I thought she was like older when we were talking, but she's 37. Yeah. Either way, like, I feel like she looks like so young. I was like, what? She's 37?
Yeah.
But I think her guy was maybe a few years older. And she talks about how one time she was like on set, and then he came to like visit her, and he was being all weird. So she was like trying to be like, what's wrong? Can we talk about it? And she was like, please don't say this one girl's name. Please don't say this one girl's name. And then he did. And she was like, ah, oh, damn. So then she wanted to talk about it.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he was like, no, after he brought it up. And then he kept like shutting her down.
Yeah.
And what blew my mind was how understanding she was about it. Like, there was like a quote from her. She said like, oh, I like understand like developing crushes. Like, it was like he was probably like 40 or something. And this girl was like 25 or 20, early 20s.
Like, younger than her.
Like 20 years younger than him. And she's like, you know, like how it is when you get attention from someone attractive, blah, blah, blah. Like, it's like heroin, or like basically just saying it's like addictive, right? And like, you love it. She's like, love, all that means is that you're human. Like, she's so fucking understanding. And the fact that he still didn't want to talk to her about
it. But she's right. But like, and I love that she opened the door for him to be like, you know, to have an honest conversation about the whole thing, and where she could forgive him, but then he fucked up and shut her out, and
because he kept gaslighting her about it, like trying to be like, why do you keep bringing this up, as if like he wasn't acting weird about it. And he didn't admit to it, and then he like pretty much denied for like a couple years, or like the next year after that, that anything was going on. Like, kept being like, nothing's going on, like, oh my god, drop it. So just, and anytime she would bring it up, anytime that she would bring it up, I guess he would go like extremely crazy and like go off on her to the point that she'd be like curled up in a ball, like scared for her life.
Wow. So sad.
Yeah. And like, that's terrifying. And some people will be like, oh my god, that's not abuse. But there was another thing that she said where I was like, damn, like, that's a good point. Cause I see people try to dismiss abuse all the time, emotional abuse or just like non-physical abuse. And she was like, it just made me realize, like, I'm so sorry that you've gone through something that people made you feel like it was okay. And that's why you don't think it's abuse.
Yeah.
That bitch is so real.
So fucking real.
So real.
Damn, I can't imagine like your man showing up to your work, especially as an actor, where you're already very vulnerable. And then he just gets in her head and just tells her, I have feelings for another person. And then just like causes drama. That is, oh my God. And then on top of that, just everything that he did to gaslight her. Yeah, what a fucked up. Oh God.
Yeah. And I like wonder if it's sabotage.
God. And just to make it worse, like she's just so amazing.
Dude, like I feel like.
No other word for it. Just.
At so many points, I was like, what?
Yeah.
I almost feel like they had an open relationship, I believe.
It kind of seemed that way.
She didn't like explicitly say it, but she did mention something where he would try to make her feel like it's her that's wrong. Like your brain is broken. Mm-hmm. First, he was trying to pull the you're so insecure. Mm. So then that's when she was like, what the fuck are you talking about? I'm not fucking insecure. Like,
yeah.
I've told you before, you can go to Burning Man and fuck 10 bitches. I don't give a fuck. Like, I'm not one to throw away a relationship over some physical shit.
Yeah.
Like, that was the agreement from the beginning.
Especially if you're Anna Kendrick, you're successful, like, actress, singer, director, like, amazing person. Yeah, so he probably felt threatened, and I know they talk about that in the podcast.
Yeah, which was another important point about it, because she was just much bigger. In her career,
more successful. Well, you know what he did?
I looked him up. I was like, who is he? I like wanted to know so bad, and I don't know who the fuck he is. Oh. I don't know. He's like a director / actor, I think.
Oh, so he is a director.
Yes, I think director or producer. I think director. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Damn. Yeah, for sure. He was jealous.
Yeah. So that's what Dax Shepard, which I love Dax Shepard because he I think it's because he's been through the AA program.
Dude, yes.
That he had so many good points. He was so compassionate, so fucking smart.
So open.
Yeah.
And like such great input. Very vulnerable, willing to just like show his how he's feeling and communicate what he's feeling. Like amazing.
Yeah. And like, to explain like, oh, well, from a man's perspective, this is probably what he was thinking, even if it makes just men look so bad.
Mm-hmm.
Like. Gave such good input, just talked about how he feels bad for successful women because it's probably really hard for them to be in a relationship because men don't really have a lot of examples of relationships, heterosexual relationships, where the woman is more successful and makes more money than the man. Yeah. It takes a really good guy.
Very secure.
To not feel emasculated, which is crazy that you would feel emasculated by that.
Bro, of course. I mean, have you ever heard Miley Cyrus talk about this?
No.
Yeah.
With who, Liam?
Well, in general, it was like, I just saw like an interview where she's saying, someone's asking her, because, you know, she's like queer. She's like openly queer. And someone asks her like what her preference, or they ask her like, do you prefer dating women? Because I think she was dating women at the time that she was getting interviewed. Mm. And she's like, it's not that I really had the preference. It's just, that's just where like my relationships went because most of the guys that I dated were just, they always felt like they couldn't really handle me being more, you know,
being
successful.
In the spotlight, having more money.
Making more money.
Oh
exactly.
My God. Yeah.
That's why crazy. You do see a lot of successful women, Oprah, like who have, you know, they date women. Not, I mean, I don't know their preferences, but a lot of times it's just like, they kind of had to open themselves up a little bit and be like, okay, well, maybe I should look at dating women.
Explore
even if
this.
That wasn't the original, you know, preference, but, you know, probably for
I
the best
imagine.
Anyway.
They use Paris Hilton as an example. Apparently she has a documentary where it's kind of showing when she was first up and coming, when she started DJing. It was like her first DJ gig or something, and how her boyfriend at the time got like super fucked up and belligerent and just kind of like ruined the night. Was being weird about her like being interviewed and getting pictures and all this shit, and just their relationship I think just ended after that because he couldn't handle it.
Mm-hmm.
Like they were fine before, but after she started popping off, couldn't take it. Yeah. Like it's just jealousy or it's envy, which
it's
is another
thing.
I think
it's envy, jealousy, but also like lack of control, because men kind of feel maybe feel that women need that validation from them. And so when they start to get validated by like other people around the world, like tons of other men and other people, they feel like, well, where's my power? Why did like
I'm not needed?
What can I exactly? Like, what can I give her anymore?
That's crazy.
So it's like almost like a ticking time bomb where it's like she's gonna break up with me. Only a matter of time.
And that's where Dax Shepard said that's why a lot of guys in that situation cheat, because it's their only way of gaining that control back.
That's a really good perspective. Like, yeah, I never thought about it that way.
That makes sense.
Even though, because most guys cheat though. Come for this.
Said it.
Come for me. It's my own experience. It's a lot of women's experience. So
it's crazy how many women you meet where every single relationship they've been in, they've been cheated on.
For sure.
So I don't know if all men cheat, but I think if they do, your ultimate power as a woman reminds me of these lyrics here. Kelly says, "While I'm here, I'm someone to honor. When I'm gone, I'm someone to mourn."
Yes, I love that.
Right? And I feel like that's your ultimate power, like navigating this world with cheater ass, dusty bums.
Yeah.
Is knowing that somebody that's with you needs to honor you. If not, you're going to leave and they're going to be fucking sad. And even in the outro,
yeah,
she says, "You're going to want me back. You're going to want me bad." Literally. You know we can't do that. You know we can't do that.
Happens every time.
Yeah. But it's like, this, I like talked about it last episode. I had a few clips and people were mad. Like I was talking about just like making sure your man is like obsessed, loves you, spoils you, treats you right, gives you princess treatment.
Or the princess treatment.
Yeah, that one was like doing numbers. People are still mad under my comments. Like because talking about, no, bare minimum. Like, bro,
bare minimum.
Do that then. Nobody's stopping you.
Because you're stitching someone or something like
that.
Well,
first of all it was I read a tweet about some girl saying princess treatment is this, and what she listed was just bare minimum things.
Yeah,
which it was. And then I just explained that princess treatment is actually what the original thing she said was, because she was like, princess treatment is not XYZ, it's this. But because
it's not
XYZ,
like showering you in gifts or like
paying for your nails and toes and driving you around, and they're calling me a gold digger.
Oh, I saw something like that.
Because that's your boyfriend, annoying. Like, my boyfriend offers to pay for my nails and toes all the time. I do my own nails, but he's always like, oh, do you want a pedicure? Do you want a pedicure? I'm like, I'm okay right now. Like, my feet will be crusty. Like, I'm, like, scared to go to salons right now just because I see all this shit about how they don't properly wash their tools. So I'm, like, paranoid.
I know.
But driving you around, okay, and then buying you gifts 24/7. I never put a price on the gifts. Like,
yeah.
My boyfriend will buy me just like this cute little stuffed animal from the gas station. I'm like, that is so sweet of you. Thank you. Yeah. Or like some chips. Like, oh, yeah. I know you love hot fries, babe. And I'm a gold digger, apparently.
That's hilarious.
It just shows they're thinking of you. And like, that's like a man honoring you is like spoiling you in whatever way he can.
Yeah. And a lot of people's love language is gift giving anyway.
Yeah. Or acts of service, like doing things for
exactly.
you.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
And like, people are losing their minds.
Crazy
gold digger.
Oh god, can't even get started on gold digger.
Yeah
People don't understand what that really means, and it's stupid. Like, people have talked about this constantly, like on TikTok. Like, the people that are worried about gold diggers coming after their money are usually the brokest people. So
every
let's not worry about those people.
You don't even have no fucking gold, bro.
Yeah,
no gold to dig.
Because like true rich
it's men making like 40K a year talking about like you gold diggers
coming from
bro, ain't nobody checking you.
And that's why they're so paranoid that women are gold diggers, because they're like, oh, they're coming for all I have.
It's like, bro, you like, if you know shit about gold diggers, they're not going after your little 30K, 40K, 50K. Yeah.
Dude,
nobody under crazy. Six figures. I'm so like, unless you're making seven figures, like, stop crying. And the thing is that men with money, they love to spoil women.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And they want their women to look good.
Yeah, it's literally a trade-off. Like, they, when, because guys talk about this all the time, they understand that if they had money, they would be picking the best, baddest bitch out there, right?
Yeah.
So they're picking women for their looks, but then, like, men with money understand that those women are going to be okay with them because they have money. Like, it's
exactly
give and take. It's equal, bro.
Bro, and a lot of men's, like, motivation to get rich is to have their hot women.
Exactly. But so, then it's like gold diggers, like, shut up, brokey. God
brokies, damn. Yeah. No, these guys out here who are complaining about this don't even have any kind of disposable income to even help their girlfriends get manicures. Like, come on, that's like $50. Or I don't know how much they are these days, but
and it's just like
that's such like a small thing, you know. It's like
it
doesn't have to be like that, and not even like every single day.
Like, I would
understand like once a month,
or just like little things here and there, whatever it is. I didn't say like, oh, he's giving you $3,000 for allowance every month,
do you know,
and crazy. Pays all your bills. And
but like, if a woman asks for anything at all, it's like, oh, that's materialistic. Like, I once had a boyfriend who I think we were talking about like Valentine's Day or something. And I had mentioned like roses or something, like bouquet of roses. And he was like, I forgot what the context was, but he was like, bouquets are so expensive. Like, I'm not getting that. But it wasn't even like
bouquets are expensive.
Bouquets of roses are expensive. Like, and I don't even think we're talking about me getting the roses. I forgot what it was about, but like, yeah, just in general, it was like, they're expensive, like, you know, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, dude, like, have you ever been to Trader Joe's?
Literally, you can make your own thing. Or did
you ever, or like, you can go to a field and pick flowers. I don't know. Like, I think people forget that, like, when women are asking for flowers or roses, they appreciate the thought and how beautiful these things are. And it's like, if you think I'm a beautiful thing that, you know, person that you love,
it's a thought that counts.
It's like, get your girl roses or some flowers on Valentine's Day.
Costco has roses, like yeah. Big ass ones. Yeah. Like yeah. They have crazy giant ones, like $50, $60, $70, $80 ones for like the big giant things
yeah.
of roses. But you could literally go to like any corner store and get like a dozen roses. They're not fucking expensive.
Yeah. And I get when you're like 12 years old, you think that they're expensive.
But we're fucking grown like, and you're out here crying.
For sure. Yeah. It's crazy. Cause like I remember when I was younger, I used to tell guys like, oh, I'm low maintenance. I don't like flowers.
Didn't we all do that when we were young?
Yeah, I mean, of course.
It was the pick me in us.
I know. And it's sad.
Because you don't want to be high maintenance because then you're not going to get picked.
Right.
What
grow- you're too Glorilla? High maintenance.
Yes. Glorilla. What did Glorilla say?
I don't know.
You're going to choose her every time because it's cheaper to keep her.
Oh, shit.
Period.
Yeah. And it's crazy because it's like I'm not high maintenance at all, and that sounds very pick me, but like
I feel like after you go through shit, you just should be.
I think I'm gonna be. You know,
you should
because like, yeah, I think the way that I treat myself now that I'm single and I've been single for like a long time now, I treat myself better than most guys have ever treated me. Like I take myself out on dates, I spend quality time with myself, I make sure I'm taken care of.
Yeah, I keep seeing like a TikTok.
I buy myself shit, so it's like, yeah, I'd rather do that for myself, you know, but, you know, until the right person comes along.
It's a lot to give up, like, your solace and just your peace, you know?
Oh, exactly.
That's what I seen, that like, peace. A tweet or a TikTok that's going around talking about, like, men think they're competing against, like, the other, like, the top 20% of men, like, these high-value men that they always talk about, but really
the they're... guys.
Good. Yeah. But really, their only competition is, like, a woman's peace and single. Solitude. Yeah.
Being single, yeah.
It's, like, her being willing to trade in how at peace she is in her life and the way she treats herself and having to allow someone in her space.
Yeah.
Like, what was that? Is it Whoopi Goldberg that was, like, I don't want a man living in my house or something like
yeah.
that?
Yeah. Yeah. That is goals. I'm
She's
serious.
So fucking real for that. Yeah. It's so fucking true. Because, like, man, like, with a man, you have to pick up after him. Not even pick up after him, but I just feel like we have different levels of how we want our homes to look. And it's just, you know, sometimes it's not, like, ill-intended when men are the way they are, the way they live. But women, maybe it's the way we're socialized and raised. So our standards of clean and... the way we like our houses, our homes, and
it's
our
like,
areas.
It's innate, too, though, because I feel like little baby girls are this way. I mean, maybe
socialized.
They're conditioned.
They are.
Really young. But, yeah, I mean, it's also, generational and biological a little bit, just because it's, or like, you know, passed down a bit. But, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
I really, I love my peace. I love my clean. I love my just, yeah, serenity.
Yeah, so as a woman, just to recognize that when someone is with you, they need to honor you or they can be gone and mourn you, like Caliucci said.
Yeah, and so exactly. So don't worry about anybody who can potentially cheat on you because just know you are the ultimate prize, you know.
Exactly.
And it's like if you get cheated on, that's on them. They got some issues, insecurity shit or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And, yeah, you'll be fine. They're going to be the ones that are sorry and probably begging for you back.
Exactly. And stop trying to be low maintenance because you're going to only attract guys that are trying to do bare minimum. Like, that's the thing. Like, if a guy doesn't want to deal with you being high maintenance, then there are plenty of girls out there. Check my comment section from that video that are completely fine with bare minimum.
That's hilarious.
They are down for bare minimum. They're sticking up for the men in the comments. Go pick them.
Exactly.
There's so many pick me's. Go pick them, men. bare minimum men, go to that video.
And I think it's so dumb because, like, you kind of have to fight for, like, what you want a little bit. Like, okay, this is kind of a hot take, but I have this kind of theory, right? So I read this book in my business class once. It was, like, how to negotiate or whatever. And they talk about the wish, want, walk method. Have you heard of this?
Yes. Well, you've told me it, but okay. It's really good.
So I feel like this applies. So basically, it's like when you go into a negotiation, a deal making, whatever, you have to ask for more because you're probably going to have to compromise for the middle ground. So when you're talking about money or just like the things that you want written,
and they're always going to try to lowball you too.
That's what negotiating is. It's like you tell me what you want, and then I'm going to just like lower you until I think that you can be lowered. Or like, I mean, some people negotiate differently, but like, usually it's a back and forth and you somehow end up in the middle. So the wish is what you really want. And it's like think of your greatest dreams. That's like your wish, right? And then you have your want, which is like, that's what I really want, but I'm wishing for more. But yeah, like, this is what I'm okay with. This is what I want. And then you have your walk, which is your like ultimate like low ball. Like, this is where you walk, you know? So
yeah,
that's like, if someone's like, I'll give you this, and that's just below your wants, then you walk.
Exactly.
And I think that can be applied to like, you know, what you want in a relationship.
It applies to this whole bare minimum thing. Because exactly. Some women's bare minimum is where they will settle instead of that's where they walk. So then it's unfathomable. Is that, yes.
Unfathomable.
For them to even see their life being spoiled or treated a certain way because mm-hmm. they never even wished for that in the first place. Whereas other women, they're aspiring for like the moon and the stars. Yeah. They're willing to settle for this. And if it's all you have is bare minimum, I'm walking.
Yeah,
exactly. So then they're mad, but then they're fighting you for wanting more. So it's like,
because they're secretly jealous.
Of course.
And the fact is, I mean, like the whole Glorilla thing is, yeah, it's easier to, you know, go with somebody who has a low standard or whatever, or like low maintenance. But if you're out here wishing for the world, yeah, it's going to be a harder sell. But eventually, like, you'll find somebody that's willing to either like meet somewhere in the middle or meet you at that wish.
Give you everything you want.
And give you the world.
Trust and believe there's men out there that want to be with someone like that. Because to do that, you have to really love someone. And that's what I think a lot of people aren't understanding when they're trying to like say gold digger, is because they think it's all materialistic. But it's like, no, that's one aspect of the relationship. And someone that's willing to go above and beyond for you loves you. And of course, you're going to love them too. Because why would you want to be with someone that you don't love?
Yeah.
Hello.
Exactly. It's just like women are just naturally like loving in general. So it's like,
we already go above and beyond
for the world. We're just hoping. We want to be treated in a certain way because we know that we can reciprocate that.
Exactly. So. Exactly.
Just wish for the stars, baby.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes. So that's pretty much the song. It's a little repetitive. It's really good, but there's not much like deviance in the lyrics. So we can move on from that. We understand kind of the point of the song, and shout out to her for giving us some good lines and a good little bop. But let's talk about Anna Kendrick a little bit more. I might have to do a part two on this because there's so many things.
Yeah, it was a long episode, right? It was like 2.5 hours.
Yeah, I think not all of it was about like with her in it. She like left like 30 minutes before it was over or something.
Yeah, and then the first like 30 are also kind of like not really true.
Yeah. That's a good chunk. But I mean, I do recommend if you're listening to watch it or listen to it. Because it is really good, and, like, there's no way I could cover everything. I would have to do, like, an hour-long episode just to cover every single thing. But let me find, like, another one of my favorite points that we could talk about.
Yeah.
But another thing also is, like, the way she was so understanding and all that, and, like, gave him so much grace. I don't know, like, what's the lesson there? Like, she did all that, and he was still, like, dogging her out. Like, should we have grace?
Yeah. Yeah, what else did you want her to do?
Fuck him up. I'm just kidding.
Like, it's what good is that gonna do her?
Yeah, I know. And I guess that does bring me to another point when they're talking about like therapy, because like he would always go off on her, right? So she would be scared to bring it up because like he's gonna get scary. So then they finally ended up going to couples therapy, and there was one time where he said something that like really triggered her.
Yeah,
so she blew up on him, and all she was thinking the whole time was like, oh no, like he's about to like get crazy probably, like look what I just did, you know. Mm-hmm. And then she finished yelling and it was like calm. He was just like chill and he didn't go off or nothing. Like, what? Mm-hmm. And then her and like with Dax and the other girl, Monica Padman, they were like talking about how he probably wanted her to react that way. Like a narcissist. I don't even know if he is a narcissist, but someone like that, they are trying to push your buttons. They want to get that reaction out of you. And the reason he was wanting her to act out like that and like to retaliate was that so it would fit the narrative in his head of like why it was okay for him to be doing what he was doing, because then he could excuse his cheating and his lying.
Yeah Like it made him happy that she reacted that way, because yeah, because
he has so much this shame idea
of her of being like she's a psycho, you know, because it's always she's a psycho
always.
So I, you know, I can justify that I'm doing this.
Yeah, but especially since he's like cheating, so he could tell himself.
There's like, certain people, like, I don't know if it's like a narcissist. I don't know. I just kind of feel like there's certain people that potentially are narcissists or maybe not, that they just feel at peace when other people are yelling at them. So like they kind of like, that's kind of like their normal, like when it's like a heated conversation or like, so they purposely push buttons. Like, I've met
people. Are you talking about, like, reactive abuse?
I don't know what it's called, but...
Like, are you talking about, like, abusers where they're usually the crazy one, so they try to push your buttons to make you react? That way they could be like, see, you're the crazy one?
Yeah, but it's not just within a relationship. I'm talking about, yeah, just in general, like, people that I know are kind of like this. That they feel like, that's, like, kind of... They feel, like, at peace this way almost, where this is what they know.
Oh,
so just maybe like, it's not really, like, intentional... But it's just that's how maybe they grew up, or that's it's almost like they're inflicting pain on themselves, or it's kind of self-inflicting a little bit.
Interesting. Maybe. I don't know.
Like this guy, right? So Anna Kendrick's ex, he feels like he deserves to be treated poorly because he's doing all these bad things. So when she yells at him, not only is it justifying like this idea of who she is as a psycho, but also he's getting what he deserves.
Interesting. I don't think that's what it is.
I don't know.
I had a thought about it because I feel like they were talking about something also in the episode where I was like, oh, that's crazy. Oh, because she kept talking about how it was really hard for her to accept for a long time that his pain was real, because she kind of realized that he would react that way, like go crazy whenever she would try to question him. And it was because it was like disturbing his reality, because he has kind of like the same brain as an addict. She never really mentioned if he is an alcoholic, but she said that she was going to Al-Anon meetings.
Wait, what is,
which is, yeah. It's like AA, but it's for people that are dealing with alcoholics instead.
Oh, okay.
So she was attending these meetings a lot.
Maybe.
So I'm assuming he was an alcoholic too. And there, Dax Shepard's talking about how, like, the addict brain, you're constantly just, like, creating realities in order to, like, lie and get away with things and convince yourself. Crazy. And how a lot of addicts can pass lie detector tests because they, like, truly believe the shit that they're saying.
Oh, okay. Bro, low-key, a lot of actors are that way, too.
Oh, shit.
You see, like, these videos of actors, like, passing lie detector tests.
Oh, that's
true. And I wouldn't say that they're addicts, but they got a crazy brain.
Yeah, I mean, which, like, lie detector tests aren't, like, really...
100%. I mean, if you can, like, as an actor, kind of get into the zone of, like, this is my reality, because that's kind of what they do, right?
Yeah.
That's what I remember, sorry, kind of going off topic, but in one of my business classes, like, way back in the day, they taught us about, like, I forgot why, but it was, like, the top 10 types of people that you trust the least.
Oh.
And actors were like number one or number two.
I feel like they do get that stereotype.
And it was like number, and it was like lawyers and all these other people. But
I always feel so bad. Like it happened to Amber Heard, where people were like, she's an actress. Of course those tears are fake. And anytime like an actress that's a woman speaks out about some shit, they're like, she's lying.
I know, it's sad. But it's also, I mean, same thing with men, but obviously they don't get it as bad.
Yeah.
But yeah, you would question because they are trained to lie to themselves. Yeah,
that's crazy. So yeah. I think that's like why he was acting crazy, was because every time she would ask him or like try to be gracious with him, mm-hmm. or like she would be this person that he wasn't trying to make her out to be, or she was asking him a question that was disturbing his reality that he was telling himself in order mm-hmm. to be okay with what he was doing, it would cause him immense shame and pain. She described it as like, I was burning him alive.
Oh my God.
Basically. So she had to accept that the pain was real for him, and that's why he was acting that way. And like at first, in order to leave the relationship, she had to like kind of be in a state of not having that much grace mm-hmm. and like hating him. And then after she healed and removed herself, or like was trying to go through it, then she was able to reflect and have more of like a understanding, like being able to look back and be more understanding. But in order to leave, first you need to like be like, fuck this, like they're fucking evil, whatever. Mm-hmm. You need to tell yourself. Which she ended up finding the proof that he was cheating, all this shit, and that's when she was finally able to leave. And she was saying in her like attachment brain, because she had like attachment issues, what happened for her was even when she found the proof, first of all, she knew, like she would like write down dates and journal obsessively. And then once she found the proof in his phone, even when she told him, she showed him whatever, and he still tried to be like, what are you talking about? And that's when she realized, like, you're fucking pathological. Like, this shit's pathological. But then she even realized for herself, she even questioned herself in that moment because her attachment brain wants to believe him still so bad.
Oh, yeah.
And then finally she talked to the girl, and then that's when she was able to let go.
Yeah.
And she realized she'd been in fight or flight state for so long, hadn't eaten for like a week. And after mm-hmm. she got off the phone with that girl, she was like,
oh, yeah,
I need a plate of nachos.
Yeah, I remember that.
And she was just like, it was a huge relief and just like, wow, really fucking great episode. I think I'm going to have to talk about it more.
Yeah.
Next week, because it was really so many great points, but definitely go listen, listener.
Definitely. She opens up a lot. You'll learn a lot. And whether or not it has happened to you before or not, it's really good because it can happen to anybody.
It gives you a lot of understanding of why people stay. It's like the shame. Yeah. Oh, another good thing that I was like, whoa, was when Dax Shepard was talking about how he had his mom on the show and his mom had been abused in a relationship. I think it was like her second marriage or something. And he was like, mom, you're such a badass. Like, you, like, were abused. Like, what the hell? Like,
yeah.
And, like, why didn't you leave? I think he asked her. And she was like, honestly, like, the shame of failing again at a marriage was so much worse than the actual physical abuse that I was going through.
Bro, shame is so powerful.
That's fucking crazy. Yeah.
It's the same reason that people that get, you know, what word can I use for R-A-P-E-D?
Raped. Sexually assaulted.
S-A-ed. There we go.
S-A-ed.
I don't know. Whatever.
I hate all these code words.
People that go through that won't come out because of the shame.
Yeah.
Because that's so much greater than going through this, like, painful experience.
Yeah.
But it's, like, crazy because, yeah, I'm sure are going to be judging you, but not as many as you think, usually.
I think most people are on your side, and that's why especially, like, as a woman, I just believe all women. Like, I still can't believe how many women were, like, tearing down Amber Heard. And to this day.
Well, they had good lawyers, and social media is very powerful. So I can't.
It is. Like, at first, I think everyone was on Johnny's side. Yeah. I was. But it's just like, bro, get your mouth off his dick and pay attention. Like, think a little more deeply. Understand the power of the media and propaganda. And a smear campaign and the history of women being abused and not believed.
Or just like what money can do, you know, like what power can do.
Power, that part.
The influence. Yeah, I don't know. That's a whole other thing, but yeah, that's fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Poor women.
All right, that is it for this episode. We had a lot of good topics in there, but I'm probably going to try to gather my thoughts on what I didn't cover. Because honestly, my notes were way too long for me to even like look through them. Because I was just like every 5 minutes, I was like, oh, bars, this is so good.
I know. Yeah. There was so much to cover. But.
And I can't wait to watch the movie either. I really need to find a showing near me and watch it. So also you guys try to watch it so we can talk about it next time.
Yes.
Shout out to Wild 7 Studios. April, shout thanks out for being on the episode with me.
Thanks for having me.
Yes.
Always a good time.
Yeah. And sorry, I missed the last 2 weeks, y'all. I was supposed to have a guest I was really excited about, and then just like some shit went down. Didn't work out. But yeah, this is episode 12. Wow. Got 3 more episodes to go. Happy Valentine's Day again to everybody. I hope that you spend it with your friends or your love, whoever that love is, platonic, romantic,
or yourself,
family, or yourself. Yeah, treat
the
yourself.
Greatest love of all.
Please, literally. That's
what I'm going to do.
There's another shit in like the episode where she was talking about like, or he was talking about the whole shame thing, and it's just like you can kind of understand when other people hurt you and the world hurts you or whatever, but like, do you ever feel ashamed about like, I was supposed to protect myself? And I was like, oh, that's true. I kind of talked about that last episode, I think, too. Like,
you always have to remember the little child version of you. That's the only way I can truly feel like more sympathetic of myself, or more like, you know, where I can be more protective of myself.
That's a good way to put it, too.
Yeah, it's like a younger version of you.
Exactly, or the teenage you. I always hear people talking about, like, we always talk about our, like, childhood you or whatever, or your inner child, but what
about, think about
your
them,
inner
like,
teen?
As a, like a person. I look at pictures, I'm like...
That's what I even said, like, last episode, I think. I was like, think of yourself, because I think sometimes we forget that, like, you know? Like, we're... Like, maybe separate your mind from your body. I think sometimes we forget to take care of ourselves. Yeah. So take care of yourself. Romanticize your life, if it's Valentine's Day or just whatever day it is. Like... Love yourself, but you know,
yeah,
we'll see you guys next time. Follow me on Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter at Sippin' After Dark.
You can follow me on Instagram and TikTok at April Directs, and follow Wild 7 Studios at Wild 7 Studios.
Yeah, and everywhere. YouTube,
everywhere. YouTube,
still working on getting those videos up. I promise, guys,
we've been busy. You know, it's a small team out here,
it's hard. Yeah, real small team.
Yeah, and reach out to us if you think you'd be a good guest on Sippin' After Dark or on any of our other podcasts,
or if you know somebody that would be. We'll see you guys next time. Bye.